Well, it's good to be back and in chilly Virginia. And so I think autumn has arrived
Yes.
in full force. So it's good to continue recognizing God's work in our lives. And so I want to look at this message here today out of Romans 8, alone or in tandem. So let me read this paragraph. And then in the notes, and then let's look at these verses for a few minutes as we ponder, and then we'll take some time to share, like we usually do, how God has shown us the difference between alone or in tandem. Here you guys shared some good stories from your experiences last week, so we'll continue that this week. The early church lived an uprooted and overturned life, while the world around them stayed rigidly unchanged, ignorant of the new life Jesus offered. And the old life was seriously threatened by the new, leading to a persecution of those who were learning to obey Jesus' teachings. The Jesus rebels, confronted within by their old nature and without by Jewish tradition and the Roman-dominated society around them. Encouragement to stay the course, to press in more and more to the liberating Jesus with them always truth was critical. And I think 2,000 years later, that leaning into that truth is every bit as critical. It's so easy to be going through difficulties, like I was mentioning in the note yesterday, and feeling like we've been abandoned. We're all alone. It's up to us to figure out our way to get through this when things don't go well. And I think maybe it's even one of the favorite lies of the enemy to make us believe that we're all alone and we don't have help. And there's no way that anyone else is going to even do anything for us. And so we need to scramble with everything that's in us to get through it. And yet, all of Scripture, the New Testament keeps pointing to Jesus being with us. Jesus himself told his disciples, "And I will be with you till the very end of the age." So we live an in tandem life. And I think the enemy wants us to not lean into that information at all. And he wants us to just feel like we've been left alone to do our own thing. So, in case that's still happening with us, or we know people who are still struggling with that, let's look at some verses out of Romans 8. And so let's start with just verses 5 through 8. Let's take section by section here. Romans 8, 5 through 8. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves, but those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. And the blanket number one is life alone. The life of the flesh means you're on your own. It's up to you to figure it out. You use whatever strengths you've got. You make things happen. And it's yours to do. And I really like the way here in the message, in the Passion Translation, verse 7 says, they fight God's plan and refuse to submit to his direction because they cannot. They can't submit because the flesh doesn't want to. The flesh wants to do it by itself. And so all the fighting, all the effort, all the struggling is for nothing because without the Holy Spirit living in, without Jesus' life in us, we can't submit to God. We don't want to. And of course, we see multiple examples around us and in the world of people trying to do the right thing, maybe trying to do certain things, trying to earn God's favor,
Yeah.
but they can't. It's an impossibility because that's only possible with the Spirit. Jesus said, without me, you can do how much?
Nothing.
Nothing. And we forget sometimes that only with him can we really make it possible to live this life that is full. So life alone. And what a terrible place. We have probably in our day, we have one of the biggest mental health crises of anyone. So many, and now, you know, we keep hearing stories of little children, 5 years old, needing counseling, needing mental health care. And I think it's largely because the example that is set around them is life alone. And
yeah.
But to think that little children should be frightened, they should be distressed by life itself at that young age is really discouraging. But so we have this example, many examples around us of life alone, and it's an impossibility without the Holy Spirit. So fortunately, that's not the end of the story. So let's read verses 9 through 11. It says, but when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you're not joined in the Spirit, to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of him. Now Christ lives his life in you. And even though your body may be dead by the effects of sin, his life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God.
Yeah.
Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into you. The blanket number two is life made new. And this is the mystery. And I really appreciate how it's written here. In every verse, every version, actually, it really brings this out. In verse 10, when he says, now Christ lives his life in you, and even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving Spirit imparts life to you. So just because we're born again doesn't mean we don't have the effects of aging, of illness, of all those physical things. Those things are still with us. Those things are the ones that we still need to deal with. And yet, even though that's still true, even though we age, even though we get weaker as time goes on, etc., it doesn't deny the fact, it doesn't contradict the fact that the Holy Spirit lives in us. And he imparts life. He's imparting spiritual life to us, life that's eternal. And so this is the life that has been made new in us. Jesus lives his life in us. So it's a life that is made new, not the old life only, because the old life was dead in its transgressions and sins. That was the way it used to be, with no opportunity. I think it's Peter that says, once you were not a people, but now you are a people. You've been accepted. And so I think this life made new is work that Jesus has done in us, for us, for all eternity. And so we, you know, it's like this, we're in the world, but we're not of it. We're born anew. We have life in us. And yet our physical life is not going to last forever. We're going to spend eternity with him. So it's good for us to recognize that this is part of it. You know, like in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is, you know, has been born again, he is, all things have been made new and the old has passed away. The old sin-dominated life has passed away, and we have been made new, but the old is still hanging around wanting to have the upper hand. So in verses 12 and 13, we finish this with this beautiful thought. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you're about to die. But if the life of the spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then taste his abundant life.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? That's
Yes.
Just such a beautiful. But if the life of the spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then taste his abundant life. And so the blanket number three is life in tandem. From this point on, we live, our life is lived, this life of Jesus in us is lived in tandem by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're never alone. Whatever we face, we're never alone. Jesus celebrates with us, and he weeps with us when life doesn't go well, when things go bad, when things don't turn out the way we want to, as you guys were looking last week as Brian was speaking. We now live in tandem with Jesus, the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in us. We live every circumstance of our life, every conversation, every phone call, every work situation, every reversal, every death experience that touches our family and our friends. We live all of these things in tandem with Jesus. He's right there, and he's with us, and he never leaves us. He's not afraid of these things. He's right there with us. He knows our frame. He knows that we're weak, and he joins with us in those
Yes.
things. And this is the truth that we need for all of our lives. We need to keep living into this truth that we live in tandem. And whether we're married or single, whether we're young or we're old, we always have Jesus right there. And he is with us. He provides the answer. He provides the way out. You know, we're promised that we'll never be tempted beyond what we're able to bear, but he'll always make a way by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit already knows the end of the line. He knows what is coming. He knows what we need to be, what we need to have in order to make it through whatever trial we're facing. And so it's life in tandem, this beautiful expression, this beautiful picture of what God has done in us. Now, it's easy enough, I think, to think we're alone. It's easy enough, you know, and the picture of in the Old Testament of Elijah, you know, what's incredible, just after, you remember the story when they're up there and all the prophets of Baal are around and they're trying to call down fire and everything, and nothing is working. And then he takes all these buckets of water, pours it all over the altar, and then he prays and God sends fire from heaven and it burns up the altar, licks up all the water around, and then he has all the prophets of Baal killed. You know, it's like, wow, what a mighty man of God. He's rejoicing. He's so excited. This has all happened. And where is he 24 hours later? Hiding under a broom tree in the middle of the desert, afraid of Jezebel, who is threatening to kill him. And so he's under this tree. He's run away. And he's praying that God would just kill him, because, you know, they're after me now. I'm the only one who's even left of all your prophets. Everybody's dead except for me. Woe is me. Poor me. And to think of where he was just 24 hours previously. So what has happened with Elijah in that situation is what's happened to me, and maybe has happened to you on occasion. You forget that you're never alone.
Right.
And so Elijah is thinking, I have to make a way out, but there's no way out. The king's wife is after me. Jezebel, this horrible woman, is after me, and she wants to kill every prophet of God that she can find. And he thinks that everyone is dead except for him. And he says, just kill me now. Just get it over with. I don't want to have to die at the hands of Jezebel. And God goes, really? You're all by yourself? Well, just for your information, Elijah, there are still 400 who have not given in. And so get up and, you know, move on. And so I think it's that. That's an extreme example, but I think that can happen to us. We can have these glorious victories. or a wonderful expression of the presence of God in a service. And we can be really touched with the power and the truth of God's presence with us. And a couple hours later, something has happened, and it's the woe is me can start again. I'm all by myself. Nobody's here to help me. Why is life so hard? Whoa, whoa, whoa. But the truth of Scripture, and throughout Scripture, especially throughout the New Testament, there are just example after example of what this life is like. And so, are we alone or are we in tandem? And the biblical answer is we're in tandem now. The Holy Spirit lives in us and he never leaves us. So he is like, he's better than the Oxford English Dictionary. I mean, he has every answer you could possibly ask for. And he wants us to be able to hear him. He wants us to be like the sheep who know the understand and hear the voice of the shepherd and know that that's the shepherd speaking. We live in tandem. What a glorious picture of what God has made available to us in this transformation. Yes, do we have flesh that wants to crop up every once in a while and do its own thing? Do we have things that are on the tip of our tongue that we would love to say that would feel so delicious, except that words spoken can never be taken back? Yes, we have that. And that's what verse 10 says. Even though, you know, for our body is dead because of the effects of sin, the Spirit still lives in us and the Spirit still wants to give us instruction. So he allows us, he empowers us to not say those words when we really want to. He empowers us not to do what we sometimes want to do on the highway, et cetera, when people are crazy. Those are ways that the Holy Spirit helps us to move toward him. And the more we, as I mentioned yesterday, I think in the note, the more we settle into Scripture, the more we spend time every day reading Scripture, reading what is true, the more it helps us in those moments of crisis. When we are tempted to think, I'm all by myself, and so it's up to me to make this happen. We used to say, you know, pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and get moving. But as a believer, we never have to do that again. And so the joyful news is that the Holy Spirit is in tandem with us and just waiting for us to pay attention, waiting for us to listen, waiting for us to count to 10 and sit down and really ask ourselves the question, but what is true about this situation? What is true in our response to this situation? And he provides a way out every time. We have the joy of knowing that he can provide a way where it seems like there's no way. And as I suggested, you know, it's like Lucy going through that coat closet in yes. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And you know, she presses in, she pushes into that, and she discovers a whole new world is at the back of that wardrobe. It's a very fanciful picture, but I love the picture. Here's Narnia. Unfortunately, it's permanent winter. That's the only thing I wouldn't choose to have. But that's only temporary until the rightful king can be placed on the throne. So here we are. We are living in some ways, a permanent winter here, away from the presence of God in this world. But in him, spiritually, we have this glorious picture of living in tandem with the Holy Spirit. So that's the joy that I see in this passage, the joy for us in 2023, when there are so many things happening near us, in our city, in our state, in our country, and in the world, where it's easy to just be so afraid that, you know, we'd be part of men's hearts failing them for fear because of what's going on. And Jesus said that there will be wars and rumors of wars. And that's only the beginning of the issues. So instead of being totally messed up and freaked out over what's going on around us and in the world, do we live those situations in tandem with the Holy Spirit? Yes. He provides an answer. He allows us to know peace where outwardly there's none. And so that's what I wanted to share with us this morning, this great news of God's plan for us. So let's pray together, and then let's take some time to share what God is speaking to us. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this life that is ours. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for reminding us that we are never alone. We never face anything alone. And we have the presence of your Spirit to guide us into all truth, to remind us, to speak words, to remind us that we are permanently, eternally in the Beloved. We've been chosen. We are loved. Nothing can take that away from us. So thank you for this reminder and for the many others and the ones that we've lived that we can share now. So we thank you for your presence with us this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.